Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. You're tuned into the Omega Radio Network, and this is the Watchman program. Today, we're going to begin with a number of articles where the pot is being stirred. As you know, yesterday, a decision out of San Francisco, California, the illegal immigrant that was declared not guilty for Kate Steinle's murder back in 2015 was released yesterday, and of course, that was a real big story. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we go through, but I want to talk about a number of other things very important to the moment we're in and the word that we're going to be involved in. Jerusalem is about to become a cup of trembling as President Donald J. Trump considers his historic move. So the question is President Trump about to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? Now, prophecy, speaking prophetically, this is humongous. What we're talking about right now is huge when it comes to end time Bible prophecy, and I'll explain that in a moment. And so, again, is the president about to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? If so, this would be one of the most historic events to happen in the Middle East in a very long time. Needless to say, the government of Israel would be absolutely thrilled by such a move, while the Palestinians and Israelis' neighbors would not be pleased at all. In fact, some Palestinians have suggested that if the Trump administration actually moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, that it could spark widespread violence or even war. Well, Donald Trump promised that he would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel during the campaign, and it looks like he intends to keep his word. A senior U.S. administration official said on Thursday that President Donald Trump is considering recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel without moving the embassy to the Israeli capital, at least for the time being. So Trump wants the recognition of Jerusalem to be a gift to Israel on the occasion of its 70th Independence Day, which is coming up in May of 2018, just months away now. And he may even announce this recognition by means of a statement to be made by Vice President Mike Pence, who will visit Israel in December. And by the way, welcome to December 1st, 2017. Pence will be visiting Israel next month, and he is scheduled to deliver an address to the Knesset. If the Trump administration is going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it is believed that it may happen at that time. Well, amen. Israel became a nation in 1948, as you know, and so 2018 will be Israel's 70th anniversary. There will be independence celebrations throughout the year, and recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital as we approach this highly significant time would be considered a great gift to the Jewish people. For the moment, however, the Trump administration will not be moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. The White House recognizes that such a move could spark violence in the region, and so administration officials are treading carefully. President Donald Trump and his senior aides are mulling a plan to eventually move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a decision that could derail Trump's attempts to restart peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So a leading option under consideration, temporarily keeping the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv while also outlining a longer-term strategy to begin the process of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, according to two administration officials. The plan is meant to strike a middle ground on the politically treacherous issue. We shall see how this plays out, but Vice President Mike Pence sure sounds optimistic that moving the embassy will actually happen. Earlier this week, he posted the following message on Twitter. While for the past 20 years, Congress and successive administrations have expressed a willingness to move our embassy, President Trump is actively considering when and how to move the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, of course, moving the embassy would have very serious ramifications, and without a doubt, many of those surrounding Trump are advising against such a move. American intelligence circles may caution Trump against the move, warning of the security-related ramifications that could ensure and danger that it could pose to American embassies around the world. Rumors of Trump's planned announcements were met with warnings from Jordan's King Abdullah II, who said during a visit to the U.S. that the transfer of the American embassy to Jerusalem at this stage will have repercussions in Palestinian, Arab, and Islamic scene. I will even be more blunt. If the U.S. embassy is moved to Jerusalem, there will definitely be violence, and it could potentially move us closer to armed conflict in the Middle East. But U.S. policy should never be dictated by threats of violence. Moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem is the right thing to do, and we cannot allow anyone to intimidate us. In 1995, Congress passed a law that requires the U.S. embassy to be moved to Jerusalem, and this is where we're going to have to move ahead here today. So the current waiver expires on December 1st, and Trump is expected to sign another one at that time. Well, welcome to December 1st, ladies and gentlemen. What an amazing moment. Why is this important, this talk about moving the embassy to Jerusalem? Well, because it establishes the Jews, it establishes Israel in a more foundational way, but it's also very, very specific to the fulfilling of Bible prophecy that there will be a temple built in Jerusalem. The temple will actually be rebuilt with the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. This is something so significant to the time clock in the last days. And so we have got to know that it is when we hear this kind of conversation, and I've said this for years, and so have so many other people said it, and were actually more detailed in what they were saying. But we know that several years ago when I was in Israel, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I was doing a radio broadcast from Israel back to the United States because I was so excited about what God had shown me when I was walking through Jerusalem and the temple area when talking to the rabbis, how their major cry right now is they want their temple back. We were at the Wailing Wall, and I came to realize by a revelation of the Spirit and in Revelation chapter 11, there has to be a temple built in Jerusalem, not a spiritual temple. An actual temple must be built. And this confirms 2 Thessalonians, where the Antichrist will actually go into the temple declaring himself to be God. And I believe it's going to be an Islamic Khalifa or the Islamic Mahdi, however you want to call it, where he will proclaim his God, Allah, to be God. And that will happen in the temple at a period of time. So this is huge information, and it's only one of the things going on around and about us. On the other side of the coin, listen to this now very carefully. ISIS calls for attacks on American kids, right? ISIS is calling for attacks on American children in revenge for U.S. airstrikes that killed Syrian children, Newsweek reported. So communicating on the encrypted messaging app Telegram, one ISIS supported texted, quote, "I wish that I could travel to Europe or America or Australia and by Allah burn their children with oil in place of their men and women. I would not choose a market, club, shopping center, or park. No, no, no. I would choose a kindergarten and a maternity hospital to slaughter them," end of quote. Well, the message, which originated from the pro-ISIS media group, the Al-Qaeda Foundation, was a call for lone wolf attacks in the West. ISIS has made numerous justifications of killing children, stating in issue 5 of its Rumia magazine, quote, one should not grieve over the collateral killing of kafir or infidel women and children. Rita Katz, director of the Site Intelligence Group, told Newsweek. So this is very interesting because we're a nation that murders innocent baby and sheds innocent blood for the last, 73? What are we talking here? 40 years? We've been killing innocent blood through abortion. And yes, our children that are living, we care about them, we value them, but the Islamic world does not, you know, and they see this as a revenge killing. Well, the threats are coming amid Russian airstrikes at the beginning of the week on Al-Shifa, a town located in eastern Syria. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, based in the UK, said 53 people were killed in the strikes, including 21 children. So the ongoing battle against ISIS makes avoiding civilian deaths nearly impossible, as the modus operandi of the terror group is to hide among civilian populations. So we have now Christmas time. We have now a call to jihad. It's been out. Remember, back in the 1990s, there was the call for over 10 million Americans to be slaughtered. And again, a very slow moving, a very cautious warfare is being fought everywhere we go. So is this a good time to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now? Well, I believe it is. In our own nation, there is a stirring going on. I'm telling you, the animosity, the enmity, the hatred, and the violence that is growing within our own nation over news reports like what happened in San Francisco. I mean, this is one of the things that Donald J. Trump ran on, was dealing with illegal immigrants, because here's a guy that had been deported 5 times, was brought back to San Francisco to a quote-unquote sanctuary city, where the case is a little bit, you know, it's gray. And yet he was arrested. He did shoot and kill Kate Steinle. And the reports were all different, but he came out crystal clear. There is nothing. And what was mind-blowing, and if you haven't heard this, you need to hear this video, was the lawyers for the illegal immigrant who was released on no charges. I mean, he's not guilty of anything, murder, slaughter, manslaughter, you know, reckless, anything. But the lawyers of this man warned Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, and President Donald Trump that they better watch out for their tweets, because they themselves are under criminal investigation, and they may be throwing themselves on the law that you're innocent until proven guilty. I'm telling you, it is getting sharper as the days go by. So it is a very intense thing. So how do we take this information and tons more? All right, tons of more stuff going on. Well, this to me is the Holy Spirit in action. At the beginning of this week, I shared with you something that God had put in my heart out of 1 Kings chapter 19. We talked about how Elijah was running, and he was hiding under a juniper tree from Jezebel and from Ahab, and how the Lord fed him, and he ran for 40 days, and he was found in a cave, and God said, what are you doing in this cave? You ran for 40 days, but really didn't have any direction now, did you? So God finds him in the cave and then tells him what to do. Anoint the Syrian king, anoint the Israeli king, and find a prophet named Elisha to put in your stead as the prophet as you go by. And so now there's direction, there's assignment. We talked about the unction to function, how the anointing of God was going to do something in your life. You, yes, you, talking to you, that there is a purpose for your existence, and God is going to anoint you to be able to do things you would never be able to do in your own strength. You would never even think about doing certain things, but God is ready to pour his Spirit out. Why? Because remember last Monday, God says he's going to rev up and accelerate his purposes in the earth. There are things that God has to get done. And the way that they're going to get done is by vessels that are set apart and called by him to do the works that are necessary. Now, this morning, while preparing, I was led to this passage of scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And this has everything to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear this. This is prophetic. This is for you. And let me just slow it down and let me reiterate what I just said. Yes, you who are tuned into this radio broadcast. Yes, you and I are being told by God, the Spirit of God, with confirming reality that there is an assignment, there is a calling, there is a purpose, there is a function that you and I must fulfill. We must receive the anointing to be empowered. That's what it means to be revved up, to push the pedal to the metal, to increase the energy and the speed, to accelerate. So you and I are going to be accelerated from within. God is going to assign us particular things that we're supposed to do. Now, God has vessels all over the world that he wants to activate. We talked about the other day how 68% of men in the Church of Jesus Christ are silenced because of the pornography issue. 68% of evangelical men in the evangelical church just in the United States, 68% have been silenced because they regularly visit pornography sites. And you know, and I know, if you're a man and you believe in Jesus Christ and you're visiting pornography sites, you're not going to have a voice. So the enemy has silenced 68% of God's men. We need to see those men set free and delivered and the bondages broken and the chains broken so that the voice, you know, why is the enemy prevailing? Because 68% of God's warriors are silenced. They're immovable. They're paralyzed because they're stuck and they're bound in sin. They've been taken captive. So God needs to activate what's available to him. And that's you and I. Those of us, no, we're not perfect people. We're not holier than thou. We're no better than anybody else. But we've learned our lessons in the past, and we've learned not to touch the unclean thing so that we could be useful to God. Yes, we're not perfect. Yeah, we've got a long ways to go and things to work out. But we are keeping our hands clean. We are doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. We are quick to repent. We are willing to confess our sins to one another and to God and our high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, God needs you, and God needs vessels that will be available to him for him to unction. So this is what God has been saying. But listen to this now. In John chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, you know, Jesus was on assignment, folks. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I want you to pay attention. The works of God. Remember on Monday that God has, he wants to accelerate things to fulfill his purpose in the earth. The things of God's kingdom. There are things he wants to get done, not what the enemy's doing, but what God is doing. And God's going to activate you and I and others around the world to do it. So Jesus is saying, no, this man was born blind that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. In other words, I've been sent. I have an assignment. I've been unctioned to function. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night, say that out loud where you are with me right now, if you don't mind. The night cometh when no man can work. So what is Jesus saying? I believe this is so complimentary to what the Spirit of God has been doing this week on this radio broadcast. God is saying through his own Son, Jesus Christ, I am working the works of God as long as there is daytime. And then Jesus said, the nighttime is coming. And when the nighttime comes, no one is going to be able to work. Do you see the urgency of this moment, beloved? Do you see it, dear sir, madam? Do you see the urgency of what God is saying? This is not religious mumbo jumbo. God's Spirit is saying to you that are tuned in, he may not be speaking to the rest of the world at this time, but he's speaking to you and I. He's showing us your life is being called upon by God to be employed in his end time purposes. I don't care what your job is. Remember, the disciples were mending their nets. They had a fishing business. And when Jesus walked by, he called them and they left their nets. Matthew was a tax collector, for goodness sake, and he left his tax collecting business and followed the Lord. There is a moment that we are in right now where God is going to be calling people out of their worldly jobs into an end time purpose, a movement upon this earth where they're going to be anointed and they're going to be able to function and do the works of God. But Jesus said it this way at the end. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus Christ, the persecution that is coming, the solar eclipse, remember, the darkness will never overcome the light, but there will be moments of solar eclipses where the light will be seemingly put out. That's what the Great Tribulation is all about. During the Great Tribulation, that 3.5 years of great global persecution, there's not much work going to be done, as I understand Scripture. But right now, there's still light. Jesus is still here, but the world is putting out him. The world is doing away with Jesus. The time of persecution will be to eradicate him from the minds of the masses, to hate him, to belittle him and his followers. Remember that. But right now, there's light. There's a bit of light left, and God is saying, you have been employed and are being called upon to surrender your life to serve the Lord. You say, well, how am I going to feed my family? I don't know. How are you going to pay the bills? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do things either, but that's not the question we should ask. When the Lord calls, we need to be willing to leave our nets and trust him that he has a plan. Ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe that the night time cometh. When I read that this morning, I felt the weight of that. The night time cometh. Now, rather than being afraid and biting our nails and sitting on our hands and, you know, doing nothing, recognize that the night is coming, that no man will be able to do anything, that now is the time to go to work. Now is the time to evangelize your family. Now is the time to put your finances to work, to bring broadcasts like these over the airwaves and many others. It is now high time to get busy with your assignment. I'm not saying everybody out there's assignment is to support the radio ministry. Not at all. Maybe you're supposed to be on radio. We've built a Omega Radio Network. We've got slots available for people that have a relevant voice. Look at Mark Taylor, for example. You all know who Mark Taylor is. Mark Taylor is the man that prophesied that President Trump was going to be the president. He's the guy that said that we're going to go through all this turmoil, but we're going to win. I mean, he is totally moving all over the world right now out of obscurity. The guy was a fireman. He was using all kinds of different things to keep him healthy. And yet now he's all over the world. He's everywhere. He has a relevant message, and a lot of what he said seems to be coming to pass. There's no doubt about it. So rather than getting into the controversy whether Mark Taylor's right or not, here's the fact. The fact is he did prophesy, as we understand it, that the president would be the president. He did say that there would be a great internal friction and war and controversy and upheaval, but he prophesied through to that that there would be some success that would go on in the country. Now, what I'm using Mark Taylor as an example because here's a guy that was doing nothing, an ex-fireman that was dealing with sickness and disease in his body. I mean, and now he's out. Now, does he have the perfect message? Time will tell for everybody. You know, but has he nailed certain things? Absolutely. Are people listening to him? Absolutely. I think God has raised up the man, but here's the type and shadow. God wants to do that with you. He wants to take your life out of obscurity. He wants to activate you into his end time purpose so that you can function within his calling. You cannot measure this by your personal evaluation of yourself. Listen to me. Your personal evaluation of yourself will be one of three things. Very moderate, or you'll think to yourself, I can't do anything. Remember what Moses said? Moses said, don't send me. I can't even talk. You're raising me up to be the leader of the nation of Israel. I can't even talk. I'm a fugitive, man. I have been on the run from the Egyptian law. I killed a man. Remember? And you may have an evaluation, a self-evaluation that limits you. listen, if you're going to value your abilities and you're going to value yourself, you might be extremely high-minded and think, well, I could do anything. You know, my abilities, well, that's foolish pride. But the reality is, if you can forget your self-evaluation and just hear God calling and begin to turn your life to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm here to walk with you. I'm here to be your soldier. I'm here to be your brother. I'm here to walk in your army. You're the commander in chief of my life. You lead me into battle. And if you're calling me into battle, if you're calling me into end time purpose, if you're calling me to unction, to be functioning, if you're calling me to go all the way with you, and you want to use my life, and you're going to put something in me that I don't have, that's why self-evaluation is limiting. Because self-evaluation, we don't have it. None of us have it. None of us have an ability to do anything unless God anoints us to do it. I believe God has anointed my life to be able to preach the gospel. I didn't know how to do that before I was born again. I was not a speaker. That never happened. I was never on radio. I didn't have any classes in high school or college to do anything I'm doing. This is all God. And then the God is reaching out saying, I just need your availability. For example, when Jesus walked by and called the fishermen and they left their nets, what was God saying to them? God was saying to them, I don't need your fishing ability skills. I'm going to do something new in your life. I'm going to change you from mere fishermen, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And it's going to be my anointing in you that is going to get that job done. Don't worry about what you can do. Don't worry about how far you can go. Don't worry about your personal evaluation about yourself. It doesn't matter what you have done. My blood will cleanse you. The cross will empower you. My spirit will indwell you. I will fill you with gifts. I will fill you with anointings and unctions and abilities. I will give you visions and dreams. I will empower you to do things you've never thought you could do before. I have a dear brother of mine, Brother Michael, and Michael and I have grown up in the Lord for the last almost 30 years together. He tells the story when he was a little kid, he had to do a classroom presentation on some issue. And when he tried to speak in front of everybody, he froze. Well, don't get around Michael today and think he's going to freeze. He'll just talk right until your ears fall off because he's got so much locked up inside of him, and God gifted him, unctioned him to be a pastor and a prophet in his life. And so it is with everybody that's out there. You know, we are operating beyond our own abilities. What I'm doing right now is so far beyond who I am as a person. I mean, if for a moment thought that I could give glory to God for anything that's done well, I would be the foolishest man on the planet. I am operating way beyond me, Vincent Xavier. I am operating in the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of God. And so God is saying to you, through this ministry, I want to do the same thing in you. Because the nighttime is coming. The nighttime is coming where no man is going to be able to work. So whatever it is that God is calling you to today, now is the time. Don't delay. Do not delay in your obedience to turn to the one who is calling you. I think it's pretty clear. I'm excited. We began the week with Elijah on assignment. We're ending the week with Jesus Christ complimenting what God has been saying. And he's talking to you. I don't know how to get away from this, but I've got to say it again. He's talking to you. It's not Vincent. He's talking to you. You know, what Vincent wants to do most of the time, he wants to stand before the whole world and say, you know what, I'm sorry. That's what Vincent wants to do. I'm sorry. And he'll say, for what? Just for existing. Sorry I was born. Sorry. You know, because that's Vincent's evaluation of himself in the flesh. Nothing worthy of God. But I don't do that because even when I miss it, even when I don't do it right, I may struggle with that a little bit because I do want to be honorable in the kingdom. I do want to stand for what is right for my master and my savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to honor him. And I don't like getting in the flesh and I don't like doing it wrong. It grieves me deeply. And it takes time. But ultimately, my worst day in the kingdom is better than the best day I've ever had in the world. My time in the world was nothing but selfish, self-centered, pleasure living, lifestyle and morbidity, and it stunk, the very best of it. But in the kingdom of heaven, in this journey, it's been better than ever. And I'm saying this because maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel that. You know, you talk about what's happening right now. And I appreciate and value the people that are listening to this broadcast. And I know they're listening in Jordan. I know they're listening in Venezuela. I know they're listening in Africa and in the Middle East and in Europe. And I know in the United States. So I know people are listening to this. And I get that because Kyle shows us who's listening and tuning in. And every once in a while, I get a little peek, you know, who's on the phone, which I'm not there yet to see who's doing that. But I'm telling you something. I value and appreciate the people listening, but you need to know something. This is impossible that you would be listening to me. Who am I? And hopefully you're not listening to me. You're listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's being preached through this ministry. I want you to know that this ministry is so far beyond just end time teaching. What we do on Saturdays and Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays is in the realm of deliverance and prophesying, equipping, edifying the body of Christ. We do a lot in this ministry. It's not just what I do on radio and what we're going to do on KIRM Radio today, Lord willing. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. And this is for someone out there that you've been evaluating yourself for way too long. And you say, well, I know my abilities. I know my weaknesses and I know my strengths. You know, I'm this type of bloodline. I'm A type of blood. My personality matches my blood. You know what? People tried to get me to go for that 25, 26, 27 years ago. And I said, you know what? I don't care what my blood type is. I'm born again. I don't even operate out of my own blood type. I don't care about my personality in the world. I have the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through my body. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a king and a priest. I'm a son of God. I don't care about personality types. Now, maybe you do, and I don't mean to offend anybody out there, but I say to it, who cares? The blood that flows through me is not my own. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses my conscience, that moves my life, the DNA, the divine nature activated through the blood. Why am I telling you that? Because, you know, God has just done some miraculous things. He's done some miraculous things. And I hesitate to get into my testimony. I just don't want to go there. So what I'm going to do, all I could do is assure you something. I can assure you that whatever you've evaluated yourself, my strengths, my blood type, my weaknesses, you know, that's pretty good if you're like in the third grade. You know, if your spiritual mentality is like a third grader, you could operate in that kind of wisdom if you need to. Time to grow up way beyond that stuff. What God is saying is, I am going to put something in you that's not in you, that's not of you. I apologize for being so passionate about this. I need somebody out there to get it. I need somebody to turn their life over to God to such a degree that they will eclipse everybody else in their family. They'll outshine everybody else, not because of their own ability, but because God is saying, I'm going to take the weak things of the earth and I'm going to confound the things that are mighty. I'm going to take the foolish things of the earth and confound the things that are wise. I'm going to take the basis of people in this earth, and I'm going to bring them to the castle. I am just looking for vessels that are willing to go with me. Now, the type and shadow is in Jesus. Go back to the gospel. Jesus walking to the Sea of Galilee. He sees some fishermen. He calls them. He sees a tax collector. He calls them. He sees Luke the physician. He calls him. He's calling all these people. They don't have any talents or abilities or skills or know-how to get involved with what Jesus is about to bring to the earth, a revolution of righteousness. He's ready to shift the entire world from Judaism to faith in God through his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross. You think these guys knew anything about what God was ready to do? Nothing. But they came to Jesus. And they were discipled by Jesus, and Jesus instructed them, and Jesus imparted unto them, and Jesus held them accountable, and Jesus trained them up and raised them up. And then at the right time, Jesus left his mantle, like Elijah's mantle fell on Elisha. Do you know what happened? When Elijah, the prophet of God, was taken up in chariots to heaven, like Jesus was resurrected and taken up, it says that the mantle of Elijah fell upon Elisha and he received a double portion. Jesus left his mantle behind and he's ready to put it on our generation. And he's saying, the works that I do, even greater works shall you do. It's a double portion anointing, a double portion mantle that is coming upon the end time ecclesia, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, to function and to do what we would never be able to do in our own strength. And unless Elisha got the mantle of Elijah, he never would have functioned to do the miraculous things that he did. And he was the most miraculous prophet written in Scripture, Elisha was. I mean, this is imperative for you to get this. It's not about your skills. It's not about your abilities. It's not about what you know and don't know. This is a time for men and women of God to come, to come to the Lord Jesus and say, here I am, disciple my life, lead me. Now, is there a place that God would actually bring you to so that you can start getting built up and equipped and prayed for and delivered and says raised up within his church, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping of the saints? You're not going to be able to do this alone. You're not going to be able to do this. Even the disciples weren't left alone. They came to the master, and that was the church. Those 12 disciples and Jesus, that was church. And so the size doesn't matter. The calling is what matters. You could have the smallest church and raise up one or two or three or four or five great men and women of God totally sold out for God, and you'll change your city quicker than a mega church that has all the programs going on. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, it's your calling that is great, not what denomination, what church you go to, what you're about. It doesn't matter. It's a time for the stripping. Even the great prophet John, the greatest of all prophets, by the way, was John the Baptist. And we who are least in the kingdom of God are greater than him because of the spiritual dynamic. But even he said, I must decrease and he must increase. It's not about you and I increasing. It's about Jesus increasing. Amen? All right. I think I've said enough. I'm going to go and see if anybody's listening to this radio broadcast today. And there are a few people listening on the telephone, hopefully much more on the internet. So we're going to open the telephone lines, 818-369-0326. Yes, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for a season. I am believing and believing in faith that it's time for the mantle of Jesus to come upon your life and my life so that we could do the double portion, the works that he wants to get accomplished in this earth. And I want us to just be thinking that way because the time's going to come. It's going to catch us off guard while we're driving down the road, while we're praying in our living room, while we're preaching at church or listening at church. There's a mantle coming. There's a mantle ready to fall. There's a mantle ready to fall. And it is not the mantle of men. It is the mantle of Jesus. It is the mantle of Jesus that is ready to fall, and we have got to catch it. And Elijah said to Elisha, if you see the mantle and you take hold of it, then you're going to have the power. So we have got to get ready for the mantle. When did the first mantle of Jesus fall? In the book of Acts, when they were gathered together in an upper room. The heavens opened. The Spirit came. That was the mantle. And that early church was mantled. There has been a mantling for 2,000 years. But now we who have come to the end of the end of the end of the end of the ages are ready to be mantled with an unction that we've never seen before or knew before. And it is time to get fully involved. This mantle cannot be given to those who go 95% of the way. This mantle cannot be given to those who are 50-50 or 99.999. This mantle is for the sold-out sons of God and the daughters of God. And that sold-outness is an inward thing. It's not about what I say. It's not even about what I look like I'm doing. It is an inward cry of the heart that says, here am I. You could have my life. I am volunteering willingly my life for the cause of Christ. That's it. From there, go out and live, but get ready, because one day, in one moment, in one hour, you're going to be doing one thing, and the Spirit of God is going to do something way beyond your thinking, and you're going to be activated into what God is doing, and it's going to be the thrill of your life, the adventure of your life, the power in your life, the victory in your life, and you're going to go, my God has done amazing things. 818-369-0326. We've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast today. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad if you're interested in calling in today or sharing your thoughts. And I've got a call coming in from my dear friend in Indiana, my brother, Don Huddle. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you, Pastor? How's everything?
Man, I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Something's happening inside of me that I just can't quiet down. So maybe others can talk it through.
Hold on just a second, sir.
Yes, sir. So Don is maybe at work right now, and who knows?
He's, okay, go ahead, sir.
All right, so go ahead, Don. What's on your heart this morning?
Well, I was just listening to you. I'm in total agreement with what you said. I'm kind of excited today, too. A lot of things going on in the world, isn't there?
Absolutely.
My goodness.
What's happening?
You know, I was watching Rick Wiles last night on television. He's a friend of yours, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was watching him. He was on Chicago television, and he had a panel there. He was talking about North Korea. Very interesting developments going on there. Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
Rick
beyond
Wiles,
the over there. Yeah.
Rick Wiles is, oh, my goodness. He had a panel there, and they were discussing the EMP and the effects of it. And it looks to me like that's what they're going to do. And he always has believed that. And now with these long-range missiles and these satellites over the top of us, they're demonstrating what they're going to do. That's what they practice, and obviously that's what they're going to do. And I think that's pretty unstoppable, especially if they come in from outer space. So unless we have a space command up there, which I only hear rumor about, it's kind of hard to knock down stuff going 14,000 miles an hour, which is what their satellites are orbiting at. And the missile itself, the long-range missiles, I mean, they could hit us all at once with something, and something's going to get through. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think the only thing that we're able to shoot down right now is maybe intermediate range and stuff that doesn't come in from 500 miles up. So it's going to be very interesting here what's going to happen. It looks like it's pretty imminent. And pushes because of a huge loss of life that Trump has to appear justified in what he's going to get ready to do. And they're saying they're going to go preemptive on us first. And these are the guys to do it. I mean, Kim's telling his people they're going on us first. They're not going to wait for us to bleed them out with sanctions. And that pretty much looks like the plan here. And China, of course, if they don't engage with and help North Korea, then I am very sure that they'll at least stand out. But they're not on our side. A lot of people want to believe that. But they have never been and they never will be on our side.
I agree with that.
And and Russia, Russia is going to take a lot of the brunt of radiation. And I don't know. I think maybe Putin might feel like he's in a quandary here. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to back anything we do either. So people need to get ready. They need to get, just like Wiles was saying last night, you need to, with 90% of the American people dying within the first year of them turning off the lights on us. And we know it can be done. We've done it. We did it in the 60s in Hawaii. Anybody wants to research it, we invented that EMP. And people need to start preparing for that if they want to be a survivor. Now, Rick Wiles, his premise was, well, most of the Christians won't survive either. But that's okay because they're going to heaven. I've never seen it put like that. But it was true, and that was the way he looks at it. So he's telling the Christians, don't worry because you're going to go to heaven. I say Christians should prepare and get as many people, survivors, as they can. And I think it's our duty as Christians to survive. especially for our families, and especially in order to help others. So people, Christians need to start thinking along those lines. You don't want to be part of that 90% starving to death and watching the medieval type of things that go on in the midst of that. You need to be able to stand apart from that. There's not much good you're going to be able to do in that environment once it starts rolling. So start getting ready, people. Start getting ready, because this is no joke. And if you haven't, it doesn't take a lot to get ready. For you can take, you can buy big bags, 50-pound bags of rice and beans as staples, and do that for $200 and have a year's worth of food. And that's just for openers. So this isn't hard to do. And you need to start getting ready. I just want to issue that warning. It's everywhere now. And if the only way you're going to miss it is if you're just not paying attention and want to just live in a complete state of denial. But for you Christians over there that are listening, they've been in other parts of the world and have seen starvation and real savagery, not on television, but seen it firsthand. I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know you're trying to get ready yourself. You have to be, because you know what it's going to be like.
You know, Rick Wiles also had a dream many, many years ago. I heard him sharing this, that, and the dream that he had was that it was during Christmas. It was in December. It was the Christmas season. And there was a big gala going on somewhere. And all of a sudden, the lights went out and it hit. And so he gets this eerie feeling that every, you know, Christmas, like I do every October, that, you know, these are the times of events that could be happening, and they are quickening. They are quickening. ISIS is not done. There's something coming after ISIS that's going to make ISIS look like kindergartners in my understanding of things. And but, Don, what an amazing moment while this is all going on that Jesus is calling his body. He's looking for disciples, people that will follow him without any delay. That he wants to activate some people with supernatural ability, the anointing, the Holy Spirit of God. That's pretty supernatural. And whatever the works will be, you know, is another thing. But this is what he wants to do at a time like this. And it is an intense moment for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know trying to reach as many people as I can every day for Jesus. I got tracks. I tried talking to them about the Lord.
Beautiful.
Out of compassion for them. I'm just out of compassion for them, because what they're going to face, they're not going to have any hope at all if they don't have Jesus. None. And no protection. And no provision. They'll be naked in the streets, has been predicted by our enemies.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hold tight just for a minute. You're welcome to stay on the line with me. We've got your dear friend and brother here, Pastor Ken Wagner, calling in from Northwest Arkansas. Let's say good morning to Pastor Ken. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing we get that every Sunday morning, by the way, if you guys out there don't know that. That's Tony the Tiger. That's Pastor Ken. We're doing great, sir. How are you doing? What's on your heart this morning? Say hello to Brother Don.
That's my brother. That's my brother. I love listening to him. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I didn't tell you this earlier, Pastor, but the last thing you were talking about, I guess it was this week sometime, I woke up and remembered a dream that I had. And what I saw the Lord doing was that as people that know him and turn to him and began to go ahead and get closer and closer to him, he began to give more and more abilities and talents to these people. And the people began to use them immediately and began to bless the other Christians and the other people that needed to hear. Some were evangelistic, some were healing, some were all different kinds of anointings. And the people began to use them because they were newly empowered. And they didn't even hesitate. They just went right out and began to do them. And I believe that's what the Lord is starting to do And that's the very call that you were talking about on this broadcast over here a little bit ago. And I think that is something that is forthcoming right now, that God is preparing the people to do what they have to do for him.
Well, amen. Yeah, that's the complimentary word. That is it. And this is the season, and it's almost like being, you know, in a dream, waiting so long for things to happen, waiting, and then suddenly it's happened, like North Korea, like nuclear war, like everything we're talking about on the one side. On the other side of the day, while there's still light, this unction upon this generation. I don't know about you gentlemen, but I've been hearing about revivals, and I've been hearing about, you know, outpouring of the Holy Spirit and, you know, all those things for a long time, but I've never really honestly ever seen it. I've seen the intrinsic power of God bring transformation, but not like what we're about to see. I truly believe that God's ready to equip his ecclesia, especially his sons and daughters who are sold out to him in this moment of time. So, yeah, what a rich, rich moment.
You know, Pastor, the interesting thing was is that these were ordinary people. These weren't big names or anything of that nature. These were just the local people who really believed in the Lord. Small towns, villages, big cities, it doesn't matter. Anyone that turned to him that way, he gave these gifts and talents to, because they were the faithful ones that were turning to him to do his will. And that's the key. And I think we all need to really seek him, seek the Lord, with the clarity, a sense of clarity, a sense of understanding of the depth of the knowledge that he gives to us and the things that he has anticipated for us to go ahead and do, and accept them, and then go forth and do the mighty works that he's ordained us to go ahead and do for his church, not for our benefit, but for his church, to bring in that spotless bride.
Amen, to bring about kingdom purpose. And, you know, the phrase that caught me this morning, and maybe this is a great way to approach this, because for years we have been faithful to do what God's called us to do. Don, you've been faithful. I've got brothers out there who have been faithful. You know, we've been faithful to declare what is coming. We've never, ever changed our tune. We never changed our message, even when it appeared everything was looking opposite. We've continued to be faithful. So when I heard Jesus say, "The night cometh," it is going to come. The nighttime will come upon the nations of the earth. It's written in the Word of God. But our focus must be, while we're warning people of the night that is coming, that no man will be able to work, that right now with whatever light we have, we must be actively working towards the call of God. You know, gentlemen, I want to just share this with you, and for our listeners that are out there, I'm going to leave it alone. Anyways, anybody else? Don, Ken, number to open, 818-369-0326. If you're out there listening on the phone, you want to join the conversation, press 1 on the dial pad. We'll make sure to bring you right in. Okay, let's take this call coming in from South Dakota. This has got to be our dear friend Kathy or Ken. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, it's me, Kathy.
Okay. Hello, Kathy.
Yes, I have this opportunity years ago to be with a prophet of God, and it was amazing what our conversations that we had. And so I'm driving in the car early in the morning, taking him and his grandson to the airport in Sioux Falls. And he speaks to me, and he says, "Sister, because you have been obedient to God," he said, "and faithful, when this comes to your country," he says, "God is going to keep you and your family." It was
Amen.
So astounding. I can still hear his words. And I, you know, the years have gone by. And then when things start developing in our country, the Lord brings that back to my mind. And I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust because I believe he was a true prophet of God." And now, when we're facing what we're facing now in America with North Korea, this is very, very serious. And I believe that the preparation that people are doing as they are being led of the Lord is the thing that there will be a remnant then that God will protect when this comes to America, whoever you are. That's all I have to say.
Well, what a beautiful thing, and what reassuring words. And, you know, this is how we live. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're not living by our senses. We're not living by the brain chemistry of our fallen state of humanity. We are living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when God spoke to you prophetically, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of instruction, and told you that because you've been faithful, he's going to keep you, and you've remained faithful all these years. You haven't turned away and said, ah, that was so many years ago. I'm going to go out and become a hairdresser somewhere and, you know, live the. So you stayed faithful to what God has said. Those words will keep you. And I've got a word for someone right now. I've got a word for someone out there right now. And I think you need to hear this. It's really, really simple. Life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. Isn't that profound? Come on. Is that not profound for somebody out there? Yes. Is that good, guys? Is it true? Life without Jesus is like a donut. Is somebody eating a donut out there? God's talking to you. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. Give your life to Jesus today. Give your life to Jesus today. Go ahead. We've got a couple of minutes. Don, Ken, Kathy, you're still on the air, so whatever's in your heart.
Well, that's a pretty profound statement, really. I mean, you know, a lot of times we think we're going to, when somebody says they have a word, they say, they're going to say, thus saith the Lord. It's not happening like that anymore.
No, but it's so true. Life without Jesus is like a donut, folks. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. You could go out and become the most successful, wealthy individual on the planet. How many times have you seen it with your own eyes? And be the most miserable, miserable, empty. You know, it's just the truth. But when Jesus is in your life, when you go through those dark moments, there's something to stand on. Even if you don't feel him, even if you don't see him, you know he's there. And you have faith and hope and trust, and you could call upon his name, and he'll take care of everything concerning you. Just like he told Kathy, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about you and your family. I'm going to take care of you. Don't live in fear. Don't worry about it. Just be diligent. Wake others up. Tell the truth. All right, guys, we're coming down to our last moments here. Final word from anybody, or should we say goodbye for now?
I just got one question, Pastor, for Pastor Don. I'm trying to find out when he's going to begin to fill that hole and start up his own church up there.
Well, we're trying to get him on the Omega Radio Network here. We're waiting for that. So that's a good question. Don, you're being put on the spot here. I think that's a second time because Pastor Ken and I haven't talked at all. And I've been trying to get Brother Don to come on the air and start his own radio ministry with policemen and all kinds of military personnel. I think he'd do a magnificent job. And we've got a slot designed just for him. And all he has to do is begin. So, Don, you heard a second witness, my friend. I'd really, really pray about that.
Well, I you know, the thing is, I just don't have that radio voice talent that you and Pastor Ken and Pastor Ted have. I mean, I listen to you guys, and I'm just in awe of you, the talents that God's given you in reference to that. But I'm praying about it, and I am sure God will answer my prayers. He always does. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me. And I learned so much from listening to you guys. A lot of times I just don't want to talk.
Well, remember, we're in a season where the Father is about to do something in us that we could never do in our own strength. Remember, we're going to forget our own self-evaluation. God's going to get the job done. We have run out of time for today. I wish you all a very blessed weekend. When I get off the air, Patricia Joy Xavier and Deliverance, the Roundtable, will continue on the Omega Radio Network. Throughout the day, there will be more voices and more teachings. And then at midnight tonight begins the weekend of sermons on the Omega Radio Network. They are the best. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Kathy, Ken, Pastor Don, thanks for joining me on the air today, everybody. God bless you. We're going to say goodbye for now. Those of you that are out there, we love you. Keep safe. Be on the watch. We'll see you Monday morning, Lord willing. Shalom.